this morning as we look there at the matter of blessing the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord for all that He's done for us. He's certainly been good to us, His people. We're talking about the people of God, and He's been good to all people, and I would that all would praise the Lord. I would that all people would praise the Lord. The psalm, of course, has been written by David, a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I want you to think about this just a minute. Think about what's being said. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And if you would, repeat after me. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. He says, "And all that is within me, bless His holy name." As we go through this psalm or song, as some have called them, I'd like for us to consider God and who He is and what He's done for us. I titled the message today that Thanksgiving is a choice. As you think about Thanksgiving, giving thanks to people, giving thanks to God, it's a choice that we make whether we'll do that or not. And I want us to look at what the Word of God says in regard to this and who He is and who we are as mankind and how that we should thank the Lord. It's not just a seasonal or occasion or a particular holiday to celebrate. We were reminded, especially in our nation, how that those people, we're talking about the pilgrims, came here to find a place to worship God. That was how this nation was founded. They came seeking freedom to worship God as they so chose, and we find the nation being established by God. We find that God's hand was on this group of people, as we call the pilgrims that came. We find that God blessed them. We see this again, that this Word of God is a message to all ages. Think with me as we rehearse this and talk about "Bless the Lord, O my soul." They said the same words. Nothing's changed. The same wording, the same God, the same principles, if you would. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." The psalmist reminds us that we have a soul. In Genesis, we find where that God created Adam and from the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The Hebrew word is nephesh. He became a nephesh, a living soul. He has a person now, personality, as God, created in His image, and now He has a soul that is alive, that will live forever somewhere. You and I, each one of us, have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, and it's our soul, our spirit. We talk about the Spirit of God being indwelt in the life of the believer. We have a new spirit being born again. Prior to that, there's the spirit of man. But we're looking at the matter of what God has done. And He said, "We're to bless the Lord, O my soul," with a soul, with that person, that personality that you have. You've been made in the image of God. We have a mind, we have a heart, we have a will. We've been looking at some of those things in Scripture, and we'll continue after this, Sunday being Thanksgiving, but I want us to think about this. To bless the Lord, that word "bless" means to kneel. The Hebrew word is barak. To kneel, to bow down, we're giving honor to the Lord as a way of reverence. When we talk about fearing the Lord, it's not that we are afraid of God, but fear is a statement of revering God. Who He is, He's a great, awesome God. He's the creator of all things. And to think that He would care about me or to care about you or any single individual, but He does. He cares about all of mankind. And He does this thing, you're thinking about God and who He is again, where we've been created in His image. We have a will. We can choose to thank God. We can choose to love people. God, in His personality that doesn't change, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the writer of Hebrews says. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, all three are one. And God loves all of mankind. God doesn't love anyone more or less than the other. He loves all of mankind. He would that all of mankind would come to Him and praise and worship Him. And we often see sometimes where people ridicule God or don't believe in God. But think about you and I who are believers. We believe in God. We've been born again and dwelt by the Spirit of God. But how often do we praise God for who He is? That's why I say it's a choice. We can choose to thank God for whatever we may be going through as a way of saying, kneeling to God and blessing the Lord for whatever it may be. It may not be something that we like. It may not be something sometimes that we expect. But yet God, in His all-knowing, omniscient personality, He saw long before whatever may cross our path, whatever it would be, and He allowed that to happen. That's not to say that God doesn't care for us. It's not to say that God won't bring us through that. So we'll see in this psalm how we're to respond to the Lord. We're to bless the Lord with all of our soul. He says, and all that is within me, which would be our mind, our heart, our spirit, everything that we have, we're to praise the Lord. He repeats it in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. He says, and forget not all His benefits. Let's think about the benefits of the Lord for just a moment. What are some of the benefits? Well, we have salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation through Christ, which cost us practically nothing. It cost us nothing. There's nothing you and I can do to earn salvation. It's not a works-based salvation. It's all in Christ. We have salvation. He did the work. Christ did the work for us. And that's a benefit. We have salvation available. Whether you have chosen salvation or not, it's available. You can choose it. It's again, it's your choice. You have a will. Man has a free will. We often speak of a free will to do what? To choose what he likes. God has chosen in his will to provide for you and I a way to get back to him. Where we are sinners separated from God through the fall in Adam, God has chosen to make a way. Christ chose to come to this earth. He says in John's gospel, oftentimes the word used is sent. The Father sent me. He chose to come as the Father sent him. He made his choice that he would be obedient to the Father. We see this in Philippians. It talks about having the mind of Christ, being obedient to the Father. He chose to do that so that he could bring us back to God. So let's not forget about the benefit of salvation. What about the benefit of a new home? Folks, I tell you, there's a lot of building going on in our area right now. And homes are popping up everywhere. But you know, in time, they go away. I mean, you have a nice home, and a few years down the road, you've got to repaint it. You've got to put a new roof on it. It's going away. But we have a home in heaven that's eternal, that will last forever. There's nothing changing. It's there. It's secure. Think about the benefits of God. We have a home. We have a hope. That hope is not a thing. Sometimes the word is like, maybe we'll get it, maybe we won't. I hope I get it. No, it's a sure hope. It's based in Jesus Christ. We have a hope. We have a new life. We have joy. Think about eternal joy. One day when we get to our new home in heaven, no more sadness, no more fear, no more crying, no more departing, no more death, no more sickness, no more disease. Think about the benefits of God. All of this, these things of this life will be put away. And now we'll have the benefits of God. Verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all our diseases. These are benefits of God. He has forgiven us of all of our iniquities. You're talking about people say sometimes shortcomings. For Lord, forgive me for my shortcoming. That used to be, that's kind of a word of the past for the older folk. Younger people probably don't even hear that anymore. But the older people used to say, Lord, forgive me for my shortcomings. Well, when we look to Scripture, we talk about sin as missing the mark. That's what they were thinking about, their shortcoming. They came up short. They didn't do as they should. And we find this in talking about sin. He says, forgive all of our iniquities. Iniquities in the Hebrew word is to take something and to twist it. You can see something being wrung out, if you would, a towel or something like that. And this is what he's saying, where oftentimes men have taken the things of God and they have twisted them to their own liking. That's what iniquity represents. It's not missing the mark. It's taking what we know is right and not going to do it anyway. And man does that. And God, in his love and mercy, he forgives us for these. All of our iniquities are forgiven. He takes them away, thinking about that. Specific sins. Sometimes we think about how Satan attacks the mind of the believer, and he does. And he'll bring up specific things. It could be brought up something that took place years ago, and he can put you right there, right then. You remember that? And he wants to just beat the believer down. But God has forgiven us, and this is what he's saying. This is why we kneel to God. This is why we bless the Lord. This is why we thank God, for he's forgiven all of our iniquities. We'll see in just a moment what he's done with those things. But and he has healed or healeth all our diseases. Again, I said in heaven, there'll be no hospitals, no nursing homes, no hospice. I don't mean it ugly, but I wouldn't care if I never had to go to another hospital or nursing home or hospice and visit people as a pastor. I don't mind doing that, but I've looked for the day when that's all over. It's all gone. You go into a place like hospice, and I thank God for hospice. It's able to give people rest to their dying moments. And you don't even know you're looking for a particular person or a particular number. And you see the face of those in the hall. They're heavy with sorrow. Up there, there'll be no more sorrow, folks. There'll be no more disease. And all healing will have taken place. He will have healed all diseases. Down here, we're facing more and more, aren't we? I read yesterday a little short strip. I didn't go into the thing. Measles, there's a big outbreak of measles. Well, measles is not near as bad as COVID a few years back. Those of you that remember COVID may have had a taste of it. I did. I hope I never get it again. No more diseases. He's gotten rid of those. He healeth all diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He has redeemed us from destruction. That destruction, of course, being separated from God, he redeemed us. He brought us back. That word means to be bought back and brought back. He ransomed us. He did, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's done for us. He has redeemed us, brought us back, set us free. Think about that this morning. As a born-again believer, you've been set free from death. Death has no hold on you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why wouldn't someone take the gift of God? Why would someone want to die the wages of death? The talking about the redeeming work of the Lord is he brings us back. He sets us free from Satan and his power, and we've been redeemed from the destruction of death. Up there, no more death. Been set free. This is what Christ has done for us. He crowned us, or who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Think about how the Lord blesses us with the kindness and goodness of the Lord, the tender mercies of the Lord. He bestows them just as a crown upon our head. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give this to you. And he does this continually in his goodness. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He provides for us. We're talking about needing rain. For the farmers, we need rain. For different places, folks, we need rain. We say, well, the farmers need rain. Well, if the farmers don't get the rain, guess who's not going to get the food? Just because we're not farming doesn't mean we don't need it. We need it for the farmers, whereby God supplies our need. And he does this. And he satisfies the mouth with good things. He provides for us. David said in one place, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Think with me just a moment. Someone says, well, you know, the Christian, there have been Christians who have died from starvation, but they haven't never failed to have the bread of life. It sustains us. We may go out again with a disease. He has delivered us from these diseases. We may go out by way of a disease. But what is perfect healing? Perfect healing is no more disease. Perfect healing is in the presence of God. He satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm thinking about what Isaiah said about that. He said that the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. God is going to take care of his people. He will sustain us. And this is what we're saying. In his goodness, he satisfies our mouth, and thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we get to heaven one day, we're not going to be trying to get around up there. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be better than anything we could imagine. Grandma, who was in a wheelchair with a walker and could hardly move, some people were quadriplegic, they're not going to be like that through eternity. We're going to be like Christ. We'll have a new body. We'll have a new life. There'll be no more limitation by days and years. We'll be renewed as the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You look at the world today as we think about it. There are a lot of Christians under oppression. I'm thinking again about the people over in Nigeria. They went into another place this week. I saw a Catholic school took all of the students. Where, we don't know. What are they doing to them? We don't know. But let me say this. God is going to execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He's going to deal with that one day. He's going to take care of that. He's going to put Satan away for good. It says in verse number 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Moses was again the leader of Israel. You remember, he brought them out of Egypt. He led God's people. They saw the acts of God. They saw the water come from the rock. They saw the manna and they picked it up every day. By the way, remember what he said, pick up only enough for that day. You pick up more than that, it's going to rot. It's going to stink, and it did. They didn't believe that. They went out and they just gathered it up and it was a stench. But he said on the day before the Sabbath, now the Sabbath being the Jewish day of rest, which is Saturday, he said, pick up twice as much, because you're not going to go and gather and work on the Sabbath day, and it didn't rot. But any other than that, he supplied their need. And this is what he said. He made his ways known to Moses. What were the ways of the Lord that weren't the acts? Well, remember the goodness of the Lord. The Lord had said at one time to Moses, because of their disobedience, I'll just destroy this whole generation of people and start over with you. And Moses pleaded with the Lord, please don't do that. Lord, not that God didn't know what he was doing, but have mercy on them. And he did have mercy. He had mercy on Moses. I'm going to read a scripture in just a moment. Remember, Moses went up into the mount, and God with his finger wrote the Ten Commandments. And when Moses came down from the Mount of God, the children of Israel were committing sin, and Moses took the Ten Commandments and broke them. He cast them down. So, what are we going to do about the Ten Commandments? God says, you get the stones, you get two tables of stones, and you bring them back up to me. This is the ways of God. See, there's a difference in seeing the acts of God, what God has done and is doing, and then learning His ways. And we find this in Exodus chapter number 34, if you would, and I'll read for us down in verse number 5 and 6. And Moses is back up on the mount now with the two tablets of stone that he has hewn. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, the Lord standing with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He's standing next to Moses and proclaiming his name. Moses is learning something here. He's learning the ways of the Lord. Verse number 6 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, this is the Lord proclaiming, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He learned his way standing next to the Lord. He knew the ways of the Lord. This is what the scripture said. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. God has made known his ways in Moses' life, and we can see this recorded in God's word. And he's made known his ways to us as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation. He makes himself known. It's the Holy Spirit that draws men unto the Father. No man cometh unto the Father except through the Son. But the Holy Spirit works in the heart, and he draws men. And the Holy Spirit today, is his position is bringing conviction on the world. You see a world today that's shaking their fist in the face of God, and yet the Holy Spirit is working. And he's making the ways of God known. He's showing us how that he loves mankind, and whosoever will may come to know the Lord. And we see the hand of the Lord. Verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. When we look at the world again today and the condition of the world, I'm talking about by and large, not a Christian people, but I'm talking about the world in itself. And it seems that the things that are taking place in the world today are so violent. We're talking about violence again, chaos, lawlessness. And someone may ask the question, well, where's God? Well, God's in the heavens. And God is looking at this earth. And it's not that God is, I say this often, it's not that God's winking at sin. God's not saying, it's okay, it's all right now, it's all right, you'll learn. No, he's not. He's not winking at sin. It's his loving mercy and long-suffering. It's just like the wrath of God is being lapped up. God's holding it back. It's like, not yet, not yet. Mankind is going to come to an end. Those that have shaken their fist in the face of God, those that have rejected the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those who have chose to make their own gods, their own religions. You think about the religions of the world today. They have chosen not to go with Christ and God's Son and what He's done, but they've chosen their own way. And God, in His mercy and gracious, is slow to anger and plenty in mercy. And he says in verse number 9, he will not chide, or always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. There's going to come a day of judgment. And he's going to judge this world. Think about that. But look at verse number 10. Thank God for this. We're talking about blessing the Lord. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Thank God for that this morning, folks. As we bless the Lord and give Him thanks, let's say thank God He hasn't dealt with us after our sins. He took our sins upon Himself, Christ did, And we see there the judgment of God. We see the wrath of God being poured out on His Son, who took our sins. God didn't deal with our sins like we should have had them dealt with, but He laid our sins upon His Son, and His Son took our sins from us. And it says, He hath not dealt with us nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And we can say, thank God for that. You see, we got a lot to be thankful for today, don't we? Thank God He's not dealing with us. Again, sometimes as a believer, a young believer especially, they come to Christ for salvation. They understand that they're saved, but they don't understand all of the mercy of the Lord, justification, and things of this. And they feel like sometimes God's punishing me for what I did before I got saved. No, He's not. He's not punishing. God's not bringing that up. Christ took all of that upon Himself, and He's not rewarding us according to our iniquities. He's not going to get even with you. Isn't it wonderful to know today that when we trust Christ for our salvation, our past is completely gone? And remember that, it's completely gone. Not to be dealt with anymore. He's not going to bring it up again when we enter into heaven. He says in verse number 11, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear Him. Remember God's mercy. Remember His goodness. Remember His grace. What He has done for us, we might ask, what has He done? Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He has done that Himself. Thank God our sins are not going to be brought up. How far is it from the east to the west? Well, you start at the east and you head west and you never get there, do you? You just keep going. As far as east is, as far as it's, think about God. It's like eternity. It's that far. He's removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. The Lord has mercy. He has grace, and of course He pities us. It's not that God doesn't know who we are, and we think about Jesus Christ. See, God, who is the Creator, took upon Himself, and Christ, I'm using this word God, is the all three Godhead, the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are one. Christ was the Creator in Colossians 1. We find that. Holy Spirit, creation, and we find that back in Genesis. And we find that in the creation of God, we see that He's in the heavens and we're here on the earth. But God doesn't leave mankind alone. God Himself takes upon Himself the form of a man, Christ. He humbled Himself, the Scripture says in Philippians, and He became obedient to the will of the Father. He came down to this earth and He took upon Himself the form of a man. He was born not in a lavish home somewhere with two parents that everything was perfect by, that they had already, everything was done, that Mary wasn't with child prior to. All of these things, Jesus took this and took upon Him the form of a man. He was raised, if you would, what we would call in a low part. Would we say a blue collar or less? Yes. Born in a manger, of course. His father was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. He worked with his hands. He hit his hands too, I would imagine. Oh, He's God. He just said, put it together and it jumped together. No, He didn't. He worked. He pulled, if you would, that knife to trim the boards. And we find this, not reading into it something that wouldn't be there, but we find that Jesus was a man who was ridiculed as an illegitimate son. They said, isn't this the son of Joseph or Mary? Isn't this Mary's son? Joseph being not the father at the time and being ridiculed for this. He's ridiculed as the Son of God. He made Himself out to be the Son of God. That's what they tried to get Him for and eventually crucified Him. And it wasn't that he tried to be, it was that he is the Son of God. And he did this to be able, as it says here, to show pity unto us. Do you think he knew what it was to be tired? Sure he did. That's why he sat at the well that day. He had an appointment. Yes, he did. But he was thirsty. He sent the disciples to get food. He became tired. He became hungry. These things, why? So that he would know what you and I go through. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Again, that word fear means to reverence him. It's not that we're afraid God's going to get us. He knows us. For he knoweth our frame, it says in verse number 14. He knows what you and I are capable of. What is your frame today? Sometimes we talk about the frame of mind. Somebody has a frame. The frame of mind is not good. What do you mean? They're not thinking right. What about the body? How's your frame today? I tell you, this aging business is something else, isn't it? You may think you can until you grab it. He knows our frame. He knows that. He knows what we're capable of. He's not going to put more on you than you can handle. That's what Paul said. He learned that his grace is sufficient. It's in our time of weakness. Why does he say that oftentimes? It's in our time of weakness. It's in our time of struggling when we do what? When we look up to the Lord. Folks, sometimes it's just like I'm saying, it's a time of thanksgiving. We'll say, well, thank the Lord for what he's done. And he's given us a good year this far. But what about tomorrow? Isn't it a day to give thanks? What about the next day? What about every day giving thanks to the Lord? He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows it, what we're capable of. As for man, he says in verse 15, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. That's our life, our span. God knows that. God knows that we're dust, but he's provided for us. Thank the Lord for that. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, those that reverence him, and his righteousness unto children's children. You know, that's one thing we can rejoice in today. The things that we have taught our children and your grandchildren and maybe great-grand, the things that we have heard in the Scripture, as I said earlier, the same God that showed up with Moses is the same God I'm speaking of right now. He's my Heavenly Father. His Son, Jesus Christ, is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is right here in our very presence this morning. We're indwelt by that Spirit of God. All of these things are just as they were at any point from creation forward. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto the children's children, God is going to take care of your children and grandchildren with the same word and the same faith. If they extend that faith into Christ, it'll be the same all the way through eternity. To such as keep his covenant and those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Yes, he's going to bring down all the nations. One day all of the governments, and the only government will be a theocracy. A theocracy, not a democracy, not a republic, but a theocracy, theos meaning God. God is going to rule and reign, and he's allowing right now. So verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye angels, those are the created beings. All angels are to bless him that excel in strength and to do his commandments. They are doing his work. Today, angels, we don't see them, but God is over them, they're excelling and doing his work. They're to bless the Lord, hearkening to the voice of his word. He says, bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts. That's the host of angels in heaven. You're talking about creation itself. You minister of his. that do His pleasure. Verse 22 says, bless the Lord all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Isn't that something? It doesn't matter where you go on this earth, you see the blessings of God. See the blessings of God in creation. We see the blessings of God as you think about the top of a mountain and water flowing out of a spring on top of a mountain thousands of feet above sea level. How can you explain that? God, in appreciation, giving thanks to the Lord. He said, bless the Lord, all His works. Let's bless the Lord as we think about what He's done for us. We may be, some of you here this morning, may be going through a hard place in your life. Whatever that place is, God knows. He's with you. As your Savior, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us in all good things. He's with us in all hard things. He's with us at all times. Let's stand together today as we bow our heads and give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy, for His love, for His grace, for His long-suffering, for the hope that we have in Christ, for eternal life, for a new home. Father, we want to praise You today, and we want to praise You every day, dear God, for all that You've blessed us with. We are a blessed people. It's good to be with the family of God. And Father, as we leave the house of God today, I pray, Lord, that the glow of the Lord would be on our faces. I pray the Holy Spirit would use us in this world in which we live for the time that You allow us to live, that we could be a blessing to others. Maybe some in darkness that have never come to Christ. Maybe perhaps they'll see the light of the Lord Jesus in our life. Help us to give a word of testimony and blessing and thanks. And Lord, we do pray that You would bless us as we go into this week of blessing. And Lord, that You would use us for Your honor and glory. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother